Welcome to another exciting edition of ARG Presents That's Rated X. Bam! I'm your good buddy, your good pal, Amigo Aaron, joined by a man who's Rated X day in, day out. It's a lifestyle. I give you the Brent.
You know, we restarted the show for that intro.
That's right, because wow. That was better. Think of the bad one you missed. So, last week, we spun the wheel. We made the exciting deal. This is a deal that our good friend John Bonifacio has been itching for. We're going to play some BAM original Xbox exclusives. This is another
console right exclusive, yes.
I like how you augment that part in, and we'll get to the reason why in a minute. But it's Xbox exclusive games. Now, this isn't our first rodeo with the original Xbox.
No, it's a show like 260. No. Oh, you mean with the, yeah. We've been down this road before.
You're going to be difficult to work with today, aren't you, the brand?
Absolutely.
So, we've covered the Xbox a couple times now, back in the day. I believe amongst the games we looked at on here were Futurama.
Yes.
Test Drive Eve of Destruction. That's a must play. We also have covered Cthulhu, Dark Corners of the Earth was an Xbox game we looked at. Can you think of any other ones we looked at on here?
We looked
at a few.
Yeah.
And so today we'll look at a few more, but these are the Xbox exclusives.
Console.
Sort of. Brent, when you think of the Xbox and if games that were only released on the Xbox, there are a ton that leap into my mind. What about you?
Well, Halo.
Halos. But those got PC
Halo releases
eventually.
Right. Well, I mean, it's console exclusives. Everything comes to the PC eventually, Aaron, whether it wants to or not.
A couple of ones that come to my mind, and I'm sure you've played these, were the Crimson Skies game. That was a lot of fun, and I was surprised that one didn't get released anywhere else. Did you ever play that one?
Yeah.
I almost picked that one.
Yeah, I played those.
Some of the Dead or Alive games had Xbox exclusives. I've got a big list
Beat
here.
Beat Volleyball, baby.
The original UFC game was an Xbox exclusive. The first couple of those.
Yeah.
You play if you're in the MMA. Those were fun. There were a couple. You know, I had an Xbox, as did you.
Yes.
And I can, you know, I'm a big wrestling fan, as you know. And the wrestling games on the Xbox were god-awful. They had some Xbox exclusives, including Raw 2. You know it's good when it's Raw, too. And then the even worse, WrestleMania 21, which was horrible. They got no... And then PlayStation, you're getting wrestling games to beat the band.
Well, now you're naming things that are not Xbox original Xbox exclusive.
What do you mean? Those were both Xbox exclusives. They never appeared on any other machine, thank God.
But not the original
now,
Xbox.
Now, let's talk about the big games that were exclusive. They were beating around the bush here. There were several big titles, and the ones I'm thinking about right off the top are like Fable...
Yes.
Remember when Fable came out?
Yeah, because those are ones that were made by Microsoft Studios.
You were really into the whole Fable
thing, weren't
you?
Man, I love the first Fable.
Were you? Because, I mean, you were into it before it was released. Was that one that lived up to the hype? Was that Peter Molyneux?
I mean, no, it didn't live up to the hype because it couldn't.
It was extremely hyped, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was way overhyped. I mean, that's the... Peter special, I guess.
The what? Could you not call it that?
Listen.
But please never call it that.
Listen, when you get the Peter special, you know it's going to be all hype and no substance.
I don't know what to say about that. No.
But yeah, Fable was good. It just wasn't as good as it could have. It was claimed to be.
What was that exclusive? And I know you'll remember this because you own it.
Okay.
It was based in like Japanese folklore.
Jade Empire.
Jade Empire. That was another one that was an exclusive to the Xbox.
Yeah, it was real good too.
And now, did you have a preference between the two?
Oh, Jade Empire was a much better game, but it also released much later.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough then.
But two different types of games. I mean, Fable was supposed to be the whole, you're running through the story, and it progresses, it never goes away. That was not something that happened in the Jade Empire game.
Did Fable 2, was that a release on the Xbox or was that on the 360? I can't remember. It's been so long ago.
Yeah. I can't remember.
I think that one came on the Xbox 360. Another thing I want to mention, when you think Xbox exclusives, there's one game that comes to my mind, and that's the old Kabuki Warriors. One of the all-time bad fighting games. You ever played Kabuki Warriors? You've never played that?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, man. It's a must play. Another one I almost picked, actually, was called Kung Fu Chaos, because the name looked cool. It didn't age well. Let's just put it that way. It was a Benny Hill level of humor. You know what I mean? Yeah, I was like, well, that probably wouldn't fly today. So I kicked that one to the curb. You know, I'm looking here at a huge list of Xbox games. There's more than I would have thought, if I'm honest.
Have to remember, first of all, Microsoft had an active studio at the time.
Yeah.
They were trying to make their console successful, and especially back then, to be a successful console, you had to have exclusives.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised at all there was a lot.
Well, you know, as I look over this list, and I'm thinking to myself, man, a lot of these things fell off the earth. So being exclusive wasn't what I would call... I mean, there weren't a ton of all-time great exclusives on here. I'd say there were a handful.
Oh, I'd say there's enough.
Fair enough.
I'd say there's enough.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, I think the Xbox... We've talked this before. The Xbox is undercovered. Mm-hmm. I think the original Xbox had a lot of fun games on it.
Yeah.
And a lot of ports that were at the top of the heap amongst the other machines that were around at the time, in my opinion. The hard drive, the built-in hard drive gave this thing an edge. The power it had gave it a little bit of an edge. So a lot of times if the games weren't very good, it was basically because they dropped the ball. It wasn't because the hardware wasn't there or the programming abilities. I mean, this should have been the easiest console to program on, if you think about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it was basically a PC, and right. Now they're all basically PCs.
Right,
so
right.
There you go.
If you're listening or watching and you think of some really good exclusives you enjoy, drop us a comment down below and let us know which ones you like. I'm kind of interested in what other people were into that we don't know about.
Fair enough.
You know, fair enough. So, with all that said, Brent.
Yes.
It was our duty to find some games on the original Xbox that were exclusive games. Now, last week you made these certain rules.
Yes.
That you appended early in your choosing.
Yeah.
And by that I mean you choose the game the same night that broke both the rules.
Well, here's the thing.
Here we go.
We chose those rules, right? And you're like, I don't want to do rules.
No, that's not what I said. I said nothing. You're blaming me for your failure. Don't give me
but
that.
But then you know, we announce our games on Discord early so people from the community can play them if they want and leave a review.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, this was a great game, and I can play it up like I'm playing Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic and then hide what I'm actually playing in a spoiler tag.
Was that
was the whole reason I picked this game.
Were Knights of the Old Republic an Xbox exclusive? Was it?
I don't know.
You see what's on my list here.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
I mean,
weird joke you played.
Yeah,
this sounds like a way to mask your own stupidity.
After I picked the game I was like, man, now I need to get something somehow fitted into the rules. I was like, I'll just change the rules.
Yeah, kidding.
Then,
I guess it's your show. You can do what you want.
And then I picked The Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay.
The Butcher Bay. Now, this is one, before you get too deep into it, that I absolutely heard about for a good while. This had a lot of hype.
Yes.
Because Vin Diesel was, at the time, quite a big deal.
If you're going to tell the story,
I'm out.
Right.
Go, man, go.
Pitch Black. Have you ever seen Pitch Black?
I have seen Pitch Black.
Right. It was a horror sci-fi movie that got a crap budget that released and ended up doing better than expected. And it featured Vin Diesel, and it was him in the main character role, because there was a big fight on set on who was the main character. Because really, Vin Diesel's only in like a third of the movie.
Have you seen the movie?
Oh, yes.
You know the best guy in that. There's a guy in there who does the voice of Goliath, among other hundreds of roles and voice acting. So, yeah, so he was cool in that. But, yeah, that was it was a surprisingly good movie with a very scary bad guy.
Right. So, well, the aliens are the bad guys.
That's what
guys.
I'm talking about.
So you have this movie, and it does really well. And Vin Diesel had his fingers all up in this project, right? And he's like, all right, time to give me a lot of money and we're going to spin this. We're going to take Pitch Black and spin it, and we're going to make this whole universe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was Pitch Black a movie? Because it's not mentioned. Is it referencing this at all?
I'm sorry, Mr. Jump Ahead.
I just want to ask about the movie. Go ahead.
So, when Pitch Black came out, did really well, and they started planning on a sequel. Well, the sequel splits from the game, right? It has the same characters.
Wait a minute, there's a movie based on this game?
No, well, there's a movie based on the movie.
I didn't realize Chronicle of Riddick was a film.
Yeah.
I remember Pitch Black, and I remember the other one.
And then Escape from Butcher Bay is the game. So you've got a movie that does sort of what Pitch Black does, but it goes so far more, and it's about this alien race that it can feed on the dead and try to take over the universe. And Riddick, for some reason, decides that he's going to be he's going to go and stop him. And they find Riddick finds out he is an ultra being, that this is his destiny and that kind of thing. And that movie goes down that path.
Okay.
Escape from Butcher Bay, the game, stays on the Pitch Black path and takes that character from that and moves forward that way.
Uh-huh.
That is why a lot of people feel that Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay, is more the sequel to Pitch Black than the actual movie that's the sequel to Pitch Black, because they diverse in such different ways.
I'm assuming that movie didn't do too well, since I forgot it existed.
It did. I guess it did fine. So in comes Vin Diesel, starts his own video game company, and says, yeah, we're making this game. Gets the okay from the studio. The studio loves it because they don't have to do anything. They're going to get money.
Yeah, I love when that happens.
They find publishers in Vendetti Universal, and they put this game together. And Vin Diesel has a lot of input into this game. He's not in their programming, right? That'd be stupid.
That'd be funny.
The direction of the game.
The direction of the game.
And the way the game flows, he had a part of.
Yeah.
And including voice lines. Because his whole thing was he didn't want Riddick to talk as much. And they actually forced him. They were like, listen, you're the main character. We've got to have you saying more stuff. Because he wanted it where he'd only have like two or three lines in the entire game.
Yeah.
It would have been a much different game. He says enough. Yeah. So they make the game. It releases on Xbox in North America June 1st, 2004. That sort of corresponds with the same time the movie was released. And it is a instant smash mega hit.
Mm.
The game got so much hype in magazines and everything for its graphics, its lighting, having Vin Diesel in it, because at this time he's not just the Fast and Furious star. He actually has a little more clout. They're trying to get him to be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger.
This predates the Fast and Furious,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's not his big time yet, but magazines and stuff, he's given interviews, and if you've got a Vin Diesel interview in your magazine, you're going to get more people picking it up than if he didn't.
You think that's his real name?
I don't care.
Vin Diesel.
When you open up to the game, right, you're playing as Riddick, and you are captured by John's the Bounty Hunter, and he is taking you to Butcher Bay. And the way the prisons work is, it's almost like a prestige thing. If your prison has more famous criminals, like, you get more money and prestige. So bounty hunters take prisoners to prisons who will pay them the most money. And that's how Riddick finds his way in Butcher Bay. And the whole first sequence, right, you get off the ship, and you immediately, you're killing guards, you're taken down, you escape into the prison as a way to loop back.
Yeah,
and
then that was weird.
And then you find out that whole first sequence was just a dream.
Yeah,
they pull the just a dream thing. And the way the game is, the way it's set up, is that is basically a tutorial of everything you will be doing in the game and how it plays out. And they played up as a dream sequence.
I'm going to stop you right there just because I want to butt in for a split second.
You butt in? I don't believe
this. This was soul crushing. I had so much trouble getting through this role. And when I woke up and I was still in the ship, I told you just before the show, I was so angry. I got up, I turned off the Xbox, I walked away for a while. I was like, man, this game really jumped into it. And then I was back on the ship going, I was just like, oh.
Well, didn't you think it was kind of odd that the prison guards just let you kill them, basically?
Well, I don't know. But my point is, that was crushing. Now, it was a clever way to have basically a tutorial.
Yeah.
Except the tutorial was hard and confusing.
It wasn't that hard.
For me, it was. Go ahead.
So, when the game starts proper, it puts you in the prison environment. And the game is kind of divided up into four parts. You've got the dream sequence in the beginning. Then you've got your life as the prisoner. I mean, you're a prisoner. You're doing odd jobs for different people in the prison, other prisoners, to get your reputation up so that they will help you in your ultimate feat, which is to get out of the prison. And then you have a mine section, because the prison is built on top of a mine, an ore extracting mine, and he has to get down there and do and get some stuff, some security clearances and whatnot. And that is when it introduces aliens and different oogly booglies that are in the mine that are evil, and
they're xenos.
Yeah, very, very alien like. And then you've got the segment after the mine, which is you escaping the prison. So while the game is divided up like that, it's all meant to be seamless. It's all, you could always go back to the prison. You can always go back to the mine area. And sometimes you have to backtrack and do that kind of thing. The layout for the game, very good. Very good. And this game plays from a first-person perspective. And when I mean first-person, it is, you are locked into the eyes of Riddick, right? It very mirrors Edge like in that regard.
It's funny you should mention that. That was my thought on a lot of this. There's a lot of shimmying and leaping, and then but when it does that, it'll be, that's one of the few times you see the character,
yes,
like outside of your own head, basically doing stuff.
They were going to not have that pull out animation, but they said people got sick from it. Like pulling yourself up ledge, climbing up ladders. It actually switches from an outside the body perspective and lets you watch him do that animation, and then goes back into the head. For me, those segments were very jarring, and I wish that they didn't do that.
I can see why they did it, though.
Oh, I can absolutely see why they did it.
You do get sort of, because the animations for several things in this game, you get see them a lot.
Yes.
Opening doors, getting those health shots, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I can see why they did it. Not to mention, that's one of the few times you actually see your guy do it. So that's also kind of neat.
And the killing.
Also, when you're shimmying across stuff, you see him and you're controlling him. That's kind of cool. I like seeing him sometimes. That way you remember what's going on, who you are.
But this game plays, this is, none of what Riddick did was brand new to Riddick. What they did was they took a lot of concepts and mushed them together. Another concept they have is limited HUD. And the HUD really only shows your health and when you pick up an item, if you pick up a gun or whatever, a weapon or whatever, or when you're switching those things. Otherwise, there is no HUD, which gives you more screen real estate to see this stuff that's going on. So what's the gameplay of Riddick? It is an action/stealth game. Depending on what segment you're in, it can also be a bit of a shooter. You are expected to explore these levels and with very mirror edge like controls, where you can climb up on ledges. He's very agile. The fighting in this, the conflict, the combat is almost, I don't want to say punch out style because it's not gimmick, but it's
real different than you would expect. I had trouble coming to grips with that too.
It's you seeing your fist in front of your face, and you've got to block and counterpunch. It's a lot of block and counterpunch. That's how it works.
And early in the game, which I didn't, in fact, I never got to the point where I actually could pick up a gun.
The gun doesn't, it's very late in the game because even the guards are walking around with guns, right? And you could quote unquote have access to guns, but they're all fingerprinted.
Well, they're DNA,
right?
So you have to. So until you put
yourself into the computer to gain access to the ability to use the guns. Yeah. You can't use it.
There's a funny scene at the beginning where one of the guys that you're doing the breakout with grabs a gun, and it basically explodes.
It fries them. Yeah, it electrocutes them.
So, yeah, no gun. So the punching is sort of pivotal.
Yeah. Well, and later into the game, you will have more and more access to guns. But the main core element of the game is stealth. You do get the reflective eyes at one point into the prison sequence.
Yeah, that was confusing when I watched that back. I didn't understand what was going on there.
That, well, the shine eyes, that's how he can see in
the
dark.
Who's the girl he was talking about in his head?
I know, that's you. That's unless you're going to go deep in the lore, I'm not going to go there.
All right.
Once you get your shine eyes, it's a whole play of dark and hiding in the shadows, but you can still see, you can shoot out lights to darken the environment even more, where the guards can't see you, but you can see them.
That's kind of neat.
But when you get are introduced to a bright light, it is blinding until your eyes kind of focus. And they do an excellent job with this. This is one of the earliest games that really had those light physics that worked.
Being able
to shoot out the lights to put more darkness in the room. Absolutely pivotal to gameplay. Lots and lots of fun there. Aaron, this game, for me, I played this back in the day even.
And you beat
played
it.
Played all the way through it. Yes. I never
That's impressive.
I never owned it, but I didn't rent it. I borrowed it from someone and played all the way through it because this would have been my tail end of my college days. This was a joy to go back and replay. I'm not saying it's perfect. It definitely has some unfortunateness in some of the combat. It can be unforgiving, but once you get into it and you start playing it, the story in this is pretty good. The voice acting from the main characters are great. Some of the other actors, you can tell, are not very skilled.
Yeah.
And when they're put against people who really can do good voice acting, it shows how bad their performance is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But overall, the story in this is just fun enough to make you feel like a big, tough guy. And I really enjoyed it. What were your thoughts?
You know, I had really never played this.
Okay.
You know, before this week. And I guess I've played it this week. I didn't have a ton of success, but it's okay. Not the best of these games. There's a sequence. Really, this thing oozes like style. Like they really. I mean, it's amazing the graphics that the Xbox could pump out. Now I know we play a lot of stuff on like, you know, the ZX81, the Super Cassette Vision. But I mean, I'm looking at these graphics. I'm just like, my God, it's amazing how these look. And it's everything looks wet. And kind of grimy, you know?
Yeah, it fits the setting.
And the people in it look kind of grimy and cruddy, you know?
Great facial animation.
Yeah, and the lighting is off the charts.
Yes.
It's off the charts.
Yes.
When he's shooting lights out and stuff, I mean, it really makes a big difference. And the light of the flashlights, you can see them from down the hall and the reflections. It's real cool. I love that. The story's great. It really, I played for a while, then I watched the entire story, and it's really interesting. It's not Citizen Kane, but I mean, there's a story here to go along with the gameplay, and it works. There's some scenes early on, and I did get to this part where you actually go into the prison at the beginning, not the fake prison. And I mean, keep in mind, I work in prison. Okay, so when you're led into this prison and you hear this noise, it sounds like there's a horde of people screaming and freaking out and cheering and stuff. It's just like, it's very disturbing when you go in here. If you weren't Vin Diesel, if this was me in the game, I'd have been in deep trouble for sure. Now, there is a lot of that old school fetch quest stuff going on. This is a lot of that. I mean, there is some. This game didn't reinvent the wheel with how it operates. I need you to go get me this, and then I'll get you that. You hear that a lot. Now, it makes more sense at a prison, frankly, But I mean, that's all it is. A lot of it. It's and the different sections of the prison are divided into like there's a section where you're in a normal prison, then you're in the secondary part of the prison, then you're in the mines, and it's all you're doing quests to get stuff.
Right.
Sometimes it can be as simple as go see this guy. Sometimes yeah. they're a lot more difficult. The introduction to the Xenos is interesting because one guy sends Vin Diesel into this area that has a lot of gas that he can't survive to get this package. And the reason the gas is there is because it keeps the Xenos from coming out.
Yeah.
So when they blow that part up, they overrun the Xenos, prison.
Yeah, flood
and then
in.
There's this awesome section where you're running through the prison while these aliens are killing everyone. And
yeah.
you're shooting guards. You're shooting aliens. You're watching aliens take on these guards, these robotic suits. You know, there's a ton of sections in this where you look at other stuff going on, and it's awesome. There's a great scene near the end where Vin Diesel's character is shimmying over this pipe, and he looks down, and this big, huge alien is squaring off with one of the guards in these robotic suits.
Yeah.
And you're way, way above. It's real cool.
Yeah, you just avoid the whole area. There's another thing, talking about the fetch quest, Aaron. You can actually take a quest, right, or do an interactivity, maybe buy something from a guy,
yeah.
and then after you've done it, just kill him. You don't have to, right? But you can, and there's no repercussions if you do it, but it gives you that kind of freedom.
There's a funny bit, if you remember this part, where you get the stun gun from this guy. You buy the stun gun. The first thing, I was watching the play, the first thing Vin Diesel does is stun the guy or something. And the guy goes, I knew you were going to do that as he falls over.
Yeah.
I laugh my butt off. Anyway, I thought this was, control-wise, you're going to adjust, there's a ton of buttons. That was what killed me. There's a lot of stuff going on.
You get used to it.
I had trouble remembering how all the buttons, and they're important. You can't screw them up. There's buttons like grab people and punch them and choke them.
Yeah.
And if you botch those, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You know, and you can get killed pretty quick in this, too. Now,
yeah. You're not, you're a tough guy, but,
I got killed tons.
You can take a lot of shots, oddly enough.
But you're there with a bunch of guards and they're after you, you're done.
Right.
Unless you've got a cunning.
Swarmed.
You can also get lost, which I had that happen to me quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I guess there's no mapping of any sort. I couldn't find any mapping. But this game, even on the screens where you picked it, all your options up, you could tell this game was stylized because they've got those cues with the
yes,
it's real cool.
Yeah,
everything in this thing, it drips money. You could tell they spent a bundle on this, and it was a big risk. I liked it. I liked it a lot. The brand. I'm not gonna lie. I thought this was a real winner. Am I good at it? Absolutely not. But I mean, it was fun. The parts, and I could see myself getting better at it. And there's some. And the thing is, they mix up the gameplay quite a bit with some different elements.
It keeps you interested. It keeps you going.
How long? So I'm assuming, did you beat this again this week?
No. I did not play through it this week.
Yeah, I mean, this is a wacky one for sure.
I mean, it's about a 4 to 6 hour game if you know what you're doing. And if you're good, the critics love this game.
Oh man. Yeah, I can imagine.
All nine, high nines to mid nines.
Yeah.
This did get a PC release eventually. It also got a remaster. It came off and was that popular. It's got a Platinum Hits version as well. Did we get any Discord action on this?
We got a Discord review from Pajaco 6502 who writes, I only got to play this for a couple of hours last night, so I really didn't get too far. But the time I spent with this, I really enjoyed. By the time I pulled myself away from it last night. Yes, it's a little old, so it doesn't have all the bells and whistles of a modern game like Lip Sync, but I really started to get into the story, and if I get time, I'd like to work through the rest of it. I found it difficult to navigate around to start, but once you get used to how the game works, it all starts to pull together. If anything, my only real issue was having to set through so many mini cutscenes like the nano med sequences every time. That's true. With a roster of famous actors, including Ron Perlman, Dwight Schultz, and of course Vin Diesel, the whole thing feels like a movie. It ran a bit clunky on XEMU. I couldn't run it at all on that. So on my old laptop, so I switched to real hardware. And if you are used to first-person shooter games, you'll be right at home. Definitely one to check out if you have the time. 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And Aaron, if you have an original Xbox,
which I do,
this thing is a easy to pick up item.
Yeah,
usually running between $7 to $10 with case. And the reason for that is there's a bajillion copies out there. So this is one you can absolutely pick up for yourself, play it on real hardware, and have a really good time with it.
And I will augment what Jocko said. I actually, you know, I've got a real Xbox, and I played both these games on the real Xbox. But I was thinking, I was like, I wonder how the emulation is on this. So I broke out XEMU, which I hadn't broken out for a long time, the Xbox emulator. And I was surprised how many games run on it now and how well they run. Now,
you got to have the system for
with
it.
With all that said, it's not like I have a hot rod. Why, with all that said, this game, I did not run right. It had problems. So, but I will say, the game I chose, it ran flawlessly. And so, there you go. With that said, let's go ahead and talk about what I chose. So, I went a different direction here, but I did want to play something I had a cup of coffee with, but I didn't really get into it back in the day. And so I thought I would pick something that I at least had some prior knowledge to. So in this case, I picked, bam, Dungeons & Dragons Heroes. I was surprised, Brent, when I was looking for an exclusive game to find that this was an exclusive. That's the reason. That's the main reason I picked it. I couldn't believe that this game was exclusive to the Xbox.
It is kind of odd.
And, well, there's a funny story behind it. So, this was announced, and it was delayed several times for release. It was announced well before it got released. And so, it was announced for the Xbox, the GameCube, and the PS2. All right, and they even took pre-orders for the PS2 version of this game. Well, the word on the street is that Microsoft did a deal,
paid for the exclusive,
to make it to be an exclusive.
And God, so, I hate when
keep in mind
do that.
Like I said, people actually paid for this, pre-ordered it for the PlayStation, so the PlayStation 2. So they were out of luck. So this could have been on other machines. And unlike yours, this is a true Xbox exclusive. It's not been ported to anything, including the PC. So, released September 23rd, 2003. So you said yours is what, 2001? Oh, yours is, okay, so a little bit earlier than yours. This one was developed by Atari Interactive Hunt Valley Studio and was published by Atari Incorporated. This is that zombie of Atari that was romping and stomping back in those days.
Atari by name only.
Yeah. So if you're a Dungeons and Dragons person, you'll understand what's going on here. But this allegedly, I found this amusing. This was supposedly based on some rule set in the 3.0, 3.5, one of those. Yeah, well, I mean, you know how that goes. Your mileage will vary on that.
Based on, man, it stopped the table from wobbling when they put it under the leg.
Yeah, so get this. This was Atari's first console game for Dungeons & Dragons. And this one was a four-player offering.
Yes.
So in this game, you get to play, the D&D 3.0 edition rule set. You play as a fighter, cleric, rogue, or wizard. And your job in this game is to defeat an evil wizard. Now, there's sort of an elaborate backstory. I'm not going to get too deeply into this backstory because it's kind of confusing and weird. Your characters, and you can play this by yourself or with friends, simultaneous 1-to-4-player action. So your characters in this, the characters you play, were people that had already defeated this wizard once.
Yeah.
And as his last dying act, he cast a spell that killed you.
Yeah, he cast self-destruct.
It was 150 years before this game takes place. The wizard was called Caden. And he nuked all your guys. Well, somehow 150 years later, some evil clerics were trying to take Caden's power. Never a good move. And you know, evil clerics are the dumbest crap. And they're at it again. You know, I think of these guys like modern day TV preachers. Like, how can we get them? So Caden, of course, they woke him up. He rose up from the dead. He killed all the evil clerics, of course, stomped a mud hole in him, and now he's back. And so the people of the realm are like, we better wake up these other heroes. It's like, why didn't you do that 150 years ago if you had that kind of jack?
Did you hear what god they used to bring him back?
Which one did they use?
Praetor, the god of strength.
Well, they
Well, like, what?
Yeah, there you go. So they raise your
son, I should say.
They raise your heroes, and they say, listen, welcome back to Land of the Living, and we need you to go out and risk your life against insurmountable odds.
Here's the sword we found that you died with. We don't think it works as well anymore. Good luck with that.
So they get your ancestral weapons have been sharded, basically, and the shards are spread over, like, I think it's like 7 or 8 different areas. You have to go find them to give your... Every time you find one, it augments your weapon. Okay, yeah. So that's the gimmick. And they want you to rescue the kingdom of Baal because this was a great kingdom that's now getting subjugated by this evil wizard. So your job in this is to go through and pick up lots of different gimmicks. There's all kinds of crap that they want. You know, it's just a thing to get you to go to point A to point B. So this game plays in an interesting... I mean, I really like the view of this game. This game gives you an interesting viewpoint because it's an above the action viewpoint, but you can take your stick and you can zoom the action to all, basically third person perspective,
sort of.
And then but you can zoom way out to where you're like from the blimp, like you're way up high, so you can get a good view of where you're at. And then your right joystick, your analog, controls the camera around. Yep. It actually works well. I enjoyed this viewpoint. I've played some of these games that from like an isometric way out, and I like the ability to zoom in and out because also it gives you a better view of the things you're fighting. You know, so that you can at least enjoy some of the graphical elements of the game more. When you're real far out in like a Super Diablo camera point of view, you don't get to see them as well. So I enjoyed that. This game, if you've played any of the Gauntlet series that were...
Gauntlet Legends,
Gauntlet Dark Legacy, or one of these other ones. If you've played any of those games, this game is sort of like a more serious, more attractive, deeper version of those.
Not more attractive.
I think it's more attractive. I thought this game was a real good-looking game.
Very brown.
Well, I mean,
it looks fine. It looks fine.
Well, I mean, not every section is brown.
I know, but...
It's this game used, again, much like the Chronicles of Riddick, this game has some real nice dynamic lighting. This is when they were really tuning all that in.
Yes.
It's got nice water effects. You know, I thought the graphics were real attractive in this. As you go through the dungeons, or like for example, the first part of this, you start in like some old mines, and you're going through and you're fighting spiders. This is stuff to get you acquainted with the game and whatnot. The controls are actually quite nice. You've got a control that just swings your weapon. You've got a control that that will block. You've also got controls to use whatever magic that you've got. They've got dedicated buttons to like health. They've also got a throwing weapon, and your weapon can vary depending on what you pick up. As you go through the dungeons, you'll acquire different equipment, and you can go to the equipment screen to put on armor and hats and shoes and whatnot, change your weapon. I liked all that, actually. And one thing a lot of people probably don't know this, but if you click your right, I didn't realize it until halfway through. If you click your right joystick button, it brings up a really good like on-screen map.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to have the map.
The game's almost unplayable without it.
The map. I played through the full first level without the map.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's no good.
And I was like to myself, surely they put in a map, and they did.
Yeah.
So, and also I didn't know how to use the health. I had to go read the docs. So
little black button.
Yeah. So you can imagine having four people playing this at once. It'd be a good time. And the characters are different. You know, you really have a good scope of different guys. I mean, it's the four corners of the D&D world where you're playing your, you know, but it's still, it's a good blend, and you can work together to do something. Now, this game does some things I absolutely hate, all right? And the main thing that I hate, why do I always get mad at Zelda, for example? There's nothing I hate more than being a big guy that rose from the dead, and all I do is go around and smash barrels and boxes. And coffins, anything that's breakable. That's all. And so in this game,
and you got to do it.
You're the barrel busting master of the game. Everywhere you go, it's a gauntlet. Was the same way. This is even more egregious.
Gauntlet doesn't do it.
I mean, no gauntlet. Yeah, gauntlet. Yeah.
Legacy.
You're going through and blowing up barrels. Yeah. You're blowing up
This
is nonstop. That is it. Nate, you've played D&D for years. Have you ever done that? Like in D&D? No, they're using D&D rules for this. Are you kidding me?
Well,
I'm just saying. I know. So
they made the game and then loosely took a tablecloth that said D&D on it and draped it over top.
Right.
Well, this has almost nothing to do with D&D.
You know, it's got as much to do with D&D as gone. So what? Where is the D&D?
Oh, you're right. I admit it has as much to do with D&D as gone.
The D&D elements are the setting and the monsters. I think a lot of the monsters are well done. You've got zombies. Yeah. You've got if you get to the upper levels where you end up fighting fire giants or ice giants and trolls and umber hulks and all kinds of crazy stuff. Some of the mind, whether it's Xanths or whatever, if you get way up in there, you get some of the mind control weirdness, you know, the planar monsters. So they put in a good scope of stuff. This is also one of those games that irritates you when the NPCs, they want you to do stuff for them, but when it's time, they're like, oh, but we'll sell you some stuff.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I just went and got this stupid onk for you, and now you're going to sell me leather armor? I would gut that old man and lose my cleric abilities like that.
Please help me save. Please come to our aid and save the realm. But that leather armor is going to cost you.
Yeah. Now, this. So there are some parts, obviously, that we don't like, but you can play. Anyone can jump in at any time, which is nice.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The level thing, they've got a system in so that the level thing will even out as people come in later or earlier. You can save the game at any time. Plus, the game provides save points on the map in case you forget. You'll come across one and it'll say, they want to save.
Points.
But I'm just saying, if you can save me where you want, but that's still, I like having both. I think the different types of creatures are cool. I know it's a lot of different creatures.
Yeah,
they look good. Like when you blow one away, I like when, like for example, if you kill an undead, you sort of see the spirit come out. I didn't get far enough into the game to see the ultra creatures that come out, but there's some, like, you fight likes and dragons.
Oh,
and,
yeah, I didn't get to those. I got to the first boss.
Yeah.
It's a gimmick boss, which I'm guessing most of them are, because if you just wanted to beat on stuff, they've got plenty of that before the boss.
Yeah.
Now, this was a fine game.
Yeah.
I think, depending on how multiplayer works, because obviously I didn't try it, does everyone have their own? I mean, I'm guessing it's not all on the same screen.
The individual person hits the start button, they come up with their loot and whatnot, just like it normally would.
Right, but is it couch multiplayer or online multiplayer?
No, it's couch multiplayer.
Oh my God, who controls the camera?
Therein lies the rub.
Oh, God. That would be horrible.
Well, I mean, you got to think the gauntlets were like that. I wanted to mention, I didn't go over the
people. Yeah, but gauntlet, you couldn't change the camera.
I didn't go over the people that made this, but there's a couple that are need mentioning. So the designer of this game was a lady named Brenda Braithwaite. If the name's familiar to you, she had worked on the Wizardry series, if you remember the Wizardry series. So there's someone with some pedigree there. I think this is a pretty good game. I think I was surprised, actually. I found this online, and I found this when I was playing on an online stream last month. And I thought to myself, I like this more than the Gauntlets because I like the graphics better. There's more depth. It's that they take, I don't like a game where you control a whole party. This is sort of my speed for a D&D game. But you could do a game like that looks like this. That's more D&D like, if you want my opinion.
Yeah, and those games are out there.
Yeah, not when this was out, really. But if you want something that's just like some arcadey fun, where you run around, kill bad guys, like you said, like it's basically like a very elaborate gauntlet, then you could do worse than this, just because I think it's really pretty and well done. The voice acting, not so good, Al.
It's not the worst.
It's not the worst, but it's a mixed bag. Plus, they just keep laying trope after trope on you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as you go through it. And I don't know if you watched this to the end.
The ending was sort of, it
wasn't as satisfying as Riddick. You put it that way. I mean, I don't put this game on the same plateau, high peak as Riddick in terms of quality.
Oh, no.
But
oh, my, no.
For what this does and what they set out for, I thought this was a pretty good effort What did you think about this when you strapped in?
Here's my biggest problem with this game.
Yep.
The gameplay in this is fine. It's just the run around. It's a hack and slash.
Yeah.
It's not, no wheels were reinvented in the making of this game. Okay.
Except for maybe the visual interface. I do really like that. And I don't remember a lot of games at this time that let you zoom all the way in and come all the way back out and spin the area. It lets you look at every nook and cranny. And the art that they put down here really deserves to be looked at and viewed. And it makes it more fun to be able to go in there and look at it. So I did like that.
Well,
otherwise, I agree with you.
Well, yeah. That's not reinventing the graphics. Ain't reinventing the wheel.
Well,
I know why they put the Dungeons & Dragons name on this, right? It's to sell copies.
That's right.
But outside of saying, like, oh, you leveled up, you get a feat. It's like, oh, okay, I'm going to take, like weapon proficiency. It's like, no, you're not. You're going to take this move that lets you shout and stun things near you.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I mean, what?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. It's like, shut up. Yes, you do.
Actually, that stuff's in there.
Well, it is.
It absolutely is. That stuff's all in the book. You can look that up. You can look up those feats.
I will have to go back and look, because I surely do not remember those from any time I was playing.
Well.
It's just got the Windows dressings of D&D. Also, if your dungeon master was ever like, okay, you go into the room and there's like 14 spiders, and then you finish that combat, and your DM goes, okay, you walk into the next room, there's 12 more spiders. That's when your entire party gets up and leaves the game. But all that aside, none of that's important.
Yeah.
If you go in and say, man, I want a hack and slash that's going to have good enough controls I'm just going to brain dead out and play, this is a fine, fine choice.
Yeah.
When you level up, there are some decisions to be made. A lot of it is locked behind how high level you are, which makes sense. And then you can, when you select something, in most cases, you can select it a second, third, sometimes even a fourth time, and it adds a little bit more every time you select it. That's fun. You wear leather armor plus one, or you wear, a chain mail plus two. So that kind of stuff from D&D, that's all in here.
I think that the rules part comes in basically when you're leveling. That's when it really kicks
in. You have strength, intelligence, constitution. Yeah. You have all those type of stats that kind of tie it to the D&D world.
It's a shame you can't make your own guy. That's also something you can't do.
You are who you are, right? You get to play the four characters and that's it. I think it's fine. I think it's fine. I think this is a solid, probably 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is something, this does emulate significantly better than Riddick.
I played this on XEMU perfectly, and it looked great, by the way. It was real attractive.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
We're going to have to try this multiplayer just because I'd love to see what happens with the... I would love if every person got to control the camera and it was just a big fight to see who could spin the camera to see what they needed to look at. We're going to have to check that out. Maybe we'll get back to you.
You know, a few years ago, me and the Chubb went up to the house we have on the river, and I brought a Dreamcast with us, and we played through all the Gauntlet games on there. It's the two of us. It was a good time. And this game reminds me of that kind of fun. Yeah, I could see taking it to four people, like a little party game. Everybody sit down and play it again, just like playing something like a Gauntlet or whatnot. But there were a few things I would have added that really irritated me. I will say one thing I didn't like, and I think this is a misservice of the game, is when you're fighting stuff, I don't even necessarily have to see how many hit points it's got left, but I would like to know what it is. Like, often you're fighting creatures, it doesn't tell you anything.
Because there's too many creatures on the screen at one time.
Well, I would like to see, as you hit one, other games do it. I want to see what I'm hitting. I like to see what the stuff it is. I say, you know, what is that exactly?
Spider!
You know? review-wise, this game did pretty well. The people on Mobi give this a 7.4 out of 10. Which is not bad.
No, I think
I think that's a pretty fair score. In fact, I would say that's right in the same wheelhouse. GamePro gave this a 5 out of 5. RPG Fan gave this an 85%. Deco gave this an 85%, which is another role-playing outfit.
Someone gave this a perfect score.
Yeah, someone did.
Well,
I mean, hey.
I guess Wizards pockets are deep.
It is what it is.
It ain't a perfect game.
I did
game.
eBay this. You can get a copy of this. You know, it's funny. Xbox games are cheap. A lot of them are real cheap.
Yeah, this is a billion.
And the thing is, this is another good one.
Yeah.
And you can get it for, I saw it going between $7 and $18 all day long. I did see a sealed copy that was going for $140, $150 your best offer.
Yeah, good luck.
Your mileage may vary. We didn't get any. No one took this on this week in the Discord, so that's sort of disappointing. But I think if, this one does take a little bit of time, and I'm not sure everyone has a functional Xbox sitting around. But I will tell you, the ISO is out there if you want to find it, and the emulation on this thing, it works. Yeah. It works quite well. Any parting thoughts on the whole Xbox? Listen, I think these are two fun ones. Didn't you? I mean, I enjoyed them.
Yeah. No, I mean, I knew going in mine was good, and I was pleasantly surprised when you didn't pick a stinker. So,
happens occasionally.
Yeah, it does.
I think the Xbox is, underserviced, and I think people pull that thing back out. You can still buy these things relatively inexpensively. You can hack them easily.
Yeah.
You know, these are, and they are have a multitude of uses. I urge you to go out, get you an Xbox. Probably want to have that sucker recapped somewhere. You know, because they do have some issues, Brent, as
now,
you know.
Now, Aaron, I have a question.
Yeah.
Would you rate Retro Rewind a 5 out of 5?
You got that right. Me and GamePro are dead on. Listen, if you need some recapping to be done, there's just one place to go, especially if you're in North America, and that's heading over to our friends, RetroRewind.ca, Brent. Our good buddy Frank's up there. Do you have his specialty? Are your Commodore computers? Do you have a C64, C128, C16, one of these oddball ones? Do you have a CDTV? What are you doing? You got to get that thing recapped. Those things are worth a fortune, brother. So head on over to RetroRewind.ca and get that stuff taken care of. Hey, do you have a color computer? That's another one. Look at that double color, Brent. Nice one. Do you have a car computer? He'll take care of you on that aspect as well. And it's not just repair services that Frank offers. He's the man when it comes to accelerators. Do you have an Amiga 600 accelerator board? Do you need a flash solution? Flash solutions at the Yin Yang. Got the Kung Fu Flash. Got the SDC for the Coco. Everything you want can be found at RetroRewind.ca. I don't want to overhype it. Judge for yourself. What do you got for us, the Brent?
Oh, it'd be wheel time.
Oh, man.
Back to the wheel we go.
Oh, yeah. What are we doing this week? What's
we
new?
Only had to add a Retro Rewind piece since hit the Retro Rewind last time.
Good point.
And we have added to the Retro Rewind a little bit of VIC-20.
The VIC-20. We had a good time.
Have we done
it only once? I don't think we only did VIC-20 one time. I don't remember doing them more than once, so that'd be fun.
I don't know.
Yeah, fire that sucker up. It's kind of wobbly. What is it?
Oh,
so close. What did you get,
Almost, Brent? Little Vic. We got the Philips VG5000 suggested by Salem. Okay.
Can you repeat what that is one more time?
The Philips VG5000.
I have no idea what that is. Philips made the Odyssey, so maybe it's something like, maybe it's like an Odyssey.
Are you trying to imply that Salem OK would steer us wrong, Aaron?
Yeah, I am. Hey, just a few things I wanted to mention to everybody. First of all, hey, thanks everybody for hanging out with us. We ended up, we're coming off a couple of our most successful shows of the year, and we appreciate your fine attentions and putting up with us. Thank you very much for supporting us, and we really enjoy when we get that kind of action. It makes us feel good inside, doesn't it, Brent? Now, this time next week, Brent, you know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in the hallowed grounds of Chicago, Chi-Town. I'm going to keep my head low as I go in next. It'll be Friday. And Saturday and Sunday, where we'll be attending Coco Fest. Coco Fest, by the way, I should mention this. Get your sign ready. Coco Fest is being sponsored this year by, bam, RetroRewind.ca. Hey, newsflash, it's not like we're just because they sponsor us doesn't mean they're rinky dink. These guys are top shelf. They're sponsoring the whole freaking convention, dude. RetroRewind.ca. Good luck. Look at all those. Very good. So, if you are so inclined, check out the stream that'll be happening. And I believe it's going to be on the Coco Nation Twitch channel, but I'll drop a note somewhere when I find out exactly who's going to be streamed. But the event will be streamed. Myself and John Bodekar Schaller will be whisking up there. We're actually going to be on stage performing. I hate to say it that way because that's like I'll go over and dance. We're going to be up there doing a live Coco show amongst the many presenters and illustrious speakers that will be attending Coco Fest next week. So check out that, look into that, and hopefully that'll be a lot of fun.
That will push the live ARG for next week back probably several days, or possibly pull it forward. Who knows?
Yeah, we shouldn't miss. It should be coming out on time.
Yeah, the video release, we're all good.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be any problem, but we'll just be recording it on a different day. I want to mention, once again, we've got Boat Fest coming up. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait for it. It's in June. It's going to be number one with a bullet. Britt, what do you think about Boat Fest?
I think it's going to be in June and be number one with a bullet.
Yeah, you don't have any opinions on anything, do you? June 23rd to 25th.
No, I'm super looking forward to it. Yeah. I mean, I have taken off work, and hopefully they won't force me or lock me to the desk. So it should
can't be
that time.
Bad because you have no actual skills. I can't figure out what you're doing.
Well, let me tell you something, man. I fool a lot of people every day.
Yeah, you fool. That's your skill. So,
deception.
Anything else you want to add before we take things to the house? Like, for example,
I'm going to talk real quick. Show sponsors. I want to run down who makes this lovely show possible, who isn't RetroRyan.ca, because we've got some good people out there, Aaron, that donate their hard-earned dollar dues to help push us along on a weekly basis.
Kick us along down the path as we lay there limp.
That'd be Rolo, Mr. B, Terry Howard, Frodo and L, Laurent Garut.
It's Laurent Giroux, idiot.
Kevin Bean, Mitsuyama, O-Rom, Olaf Hope, David Terrence, Ralshi, Graham W. Vetke, Andy Jones, Jason Warrens, Jerry D, Dave Velociraptor, Sundown, Templar Mar, Chris Munch, Petzl, Rob Flack O'Hara, Texas Foosballer, Chris Folds, Richard Smith, Pachaco, 6502. It's hard not to slob back into it. Andy Craig, Z9K9, John Dykeman, Bernard Lucas, Steve Rathmussen, Retroalgy, Anthony Jarvis, and John Bodekar Schaller as our spirit of the wheel. Your episode coming soon, good sir.
Yeah, I'd say once Coco Fest is put to bed.
Yeah, I got to get past the old festers.
And you should mention, what is the spirit of the wheel? Because people hear you say that, they don't really know.
Spirit of the wheel is a special one slot category within our Patreon structure that allows you to choose an extra topic for us to do a mini review on.
So effectively, you're buying yourself another show.
Yeah. Released to the general public.
Released
so
to
all
the general public.
Enjoy.
You get to be the king dog.
That's it.
And what do they get to pick on that show?
They get to pick a topic for discussion.
Yeah.
And John kind of went a little bit farther. And since he's the first spirit of the wheel, I'm going to let it slide.
Yeah.
Normally you would get to pick a topic of discussion and then we do a little mini episode.
I see. And if someone wanted to go after that, where would they get that information?
Well, until John relents his throne, he is the sole spirit of the wheel.
I see.
So you have to just keep checking Patreon, join up, and when you see that slot open, take it. Or you can always just beat John up and force him out of his off his crown.
I like it. I like that idea. So we'll be back next week with whatever that Phillips machine was. And hold it up. Just so everybody knows. Until then, please join me and Boat at Coco Fest. Have a good week, everyone.
Thanks for joining us today. We really hope you enjoyed the show. A special thank you to Deppin Styles for our vector style graphics and BarkBit for our amazing music. Would you like to help keep ARG spinning? You can do so at patreon.com/ARGpresents.